Praise the Lord. Good evening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. You know, it's a lot of people's still celebrating Father's Day. You know, anybody could be a dad. But you got to know the father of fathers to be a father. And if you think the things that's been happening in our services lately are strange, we'll get used to it. I was in my shop, and the Lord just started reminding me of some things that took place the last time Pastor them was going to Nepal. And if you remember, several times I made the statement. See, we don't, when he leaves, I don't call him while he's gone. He don't call me. We don't communicate about what happened in services. But by the leadership of God's Spirit, he knows. And I made this statement more than once. Church as we know it is going to change. And, you know, I was in my shop and the Lord reminded me of something after the service that happened on Sunday. You know, sometimes we kind of wonder why things happen the way they happen. But that Sunday morning, I got called early that morning because my boat was sinking. So I got there and it took a while to get it pumped out. And I got home and it was about 11:30 by the time I got back home, took a shower. And I'm sitting there. And I'm wondering, you know, do I go or do I wait? And then about 12:30 comes around and I'm still sitting there wondering. And then finally my wife called. I think I got here around 1:30 and was still here longer than a normal service. See, that's what happens when God cares so much about his people. You know, God warns us. He lets us know. And just the other day, I was down at the marina when we got the text that our parish president passed. And I met up with the young guy. And he said, man, that's something, huh? I said, son, let me tell you something. We never know. And I just told a lady 2 days ago, I said, let me tell you, we're not going to get a postcard in the mail and say, tomorrow your life's going to end. You know, I thought about the times that I just spoke with Amos several times in the last few months. Probably spoke to him 4 or 5 times at the last funeral I was at. And every time we spoke, it was like we were going to speak again. Every time. When he left, he came, told me, said, I'm leaving. If you need anything, if I could help you with anything, call me. It was like, we're going to meet again. We're going to talk again. See, that's not going to happen. It's over. And just in the last month and a half, I was on 2 calls. That life was over. But I told that young man, I said, we never know. I said, you're not going to get a warning. Because I never thought I'd be walking in my yard and wake up in an emergency room. That's how quick it is. And I had the opportunity again to share. You know, a lot of times people say, you invite people to church and you want to tell them about Jesus. Oh, well, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till I'm on my death's bed. Listen to me. We're not promised that we're going to have time to repent from the time we're walking around till we fall dead. Repenting was the furthest thing from my mind. See, God cares. And there's been a lot of things said in that service on Sunday. A lot of things were said. A lot happened. But sometimes we just got to simply yield to what the God said. You know, if you were here and you were told things and you're having trouble yielding, just ask the Lord to help you. But I was in my shop, and the Lord reminded me of a vision Brother Mercer had about a crew boat. And it was full of people. And it ran aground. And in the vision, it sustained damage, but there was no loss of life. And listen to me. In our journey, in our traveling, in our walk with God, I'm in there and I just quit doing what I was doing and I just stood there as the Lord began to just deal with me about this. He said, in our walk, in your walk with me, in people's walk with me, he said, it's like we ran aground and we sustained damage. And he began to remind me, you know, in this crew boat had to be taken for repairs. It had to be hauled out of the water. You know, when a boat sustains damage and it has to be hauled out of the water and put on a shipyard, a lot of times it's not fun. And I'm standing there and the Lord began to just, I seen this prop of a boat. And it was taken to the prop shop. And the repairman didn't take it and throw it away and say, go buy a new one. He said, let me see what I could do with it. And he took it in and he set it on a wheel, on a shaft, where he could spin it. And it was bent to where any normal person that didn't know what they were doing in prop repairs would have said, throw it away and buy a new one. But he took a torch and he began to heat it up. And he got a hammer and he began to beat on it. And he began to straighten it out. And see, that's what God's been doing. Some of us were bent up. Some of us were so bent up we didn't even look like a prop. But God set us on a shaft. And he began to heat it up. See, sometimes it seems like it gets a little warm. Sometimes it seems like it's getting a little hot. But you know what it is? It's God showing his love. Because he's not going to throw us away. He's going to fix us. But we got to be willing to be fixed. You know what? That guy that owns that prop, listen to me. The guy that owns that boat and owns those props on those boats, in order to have it fixed, he's got to have patience to wait and give that guy time enough to fix it. And that's what God's trying to do with us tonight. He's trying to fix us. You know why we were bent up? Some of us have been up beyond recognition. But he set us on that shaft and he began to spin it. And he began to heat up that blade. And he took a hammer and he began to beat the bent out. And then after they do that, there's a piece that they set it on, and they get that blade perfect. But you see, sometimes the blade has a tip missing, so they have to build it up. Listen, you ever felt like in a spirit, in God's word, you've been built up, and then all of a sudden, it felt like you was knocked down? When they build it up, you know, after they build it up, they have to take a grinder. And if they grind off all the excess. So when we go to God's word, see what God's been doing? When we go to his word, and we think it says something that it don't. Sometimes he's got to heat us up. Sometimes he's got to get the grinder and grind away the excess. Sometimes he's got to get rid of the chaff. And that's what God's been doing. That's what he's been doing for us. And I stood there and I said, God, I'm so thankful. God, I'm so honored that you didn't throw me away. But you took the time out and you set me on a potter's wheel. And you begin to mold me and make me. Let me tell you something. If you think that I hadn't been the same person that I was 3 or 4 weeks ago, it's because God's been changing me. Because I remember getting up that next morning and I walked out to that building. See, I spend a lot of time in that blue and tan building next to my house. And a lot of times it's just me and God's spirit. And I say, God, Father, I don't know how to fix me. But if you'll help me, I will allow you to fix me. I need you to fix me. See, I can't fix me. You can't fix you. But God knows how. You know what? Sometimes it gets warm. It gets hot. You know, I was down there one day when Mark was heating up a blade of a wheel. And that thing got so hot it turned red. But he had to get it that hot in order to beat it out and get the bend out of it. Sometimes we might feel like, God, you're just putting on too much heat. Listen to me. He knows what we can take. He knows what it takes to fix us. He knows what it takes to straighten us out. And he wants us to begin to flow and to begin to turn smooth and proper. But sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it goes against what we want to do naturally, and it ought to be lined up spiritually. But thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. Because of his grace, we are still here. Because of his warning, listen, I never had a warning. I don't remember what year it was, but I know it was October the 10th, about 10:30 in the morning. I never had a warning that I would fall on the ground and wake up in the back of an ambulance, hooked to IVs and people working on me. But listen to me. Before I strayed away from God, I had a warning. Thank God for grace. You know what he does? He warns us in his word. You say, well, what are you talking about? Those mornings, those times in the wee hours of the morning, and we open up our Bible and we go to the scripture and we read it and we think, oh, that's for somebody else. Listen to me. I can't give it to somebody else till I apply it to my life. Sometimes it's for us. Sometimes we got to grab a hold of it and we got to chew it. And we got to chew it. And sometimes it gets a little tough. But if we chew it, eventually we'll be able to swallow it. But we got to want it. We got to come to a complete realization that church as we knew it has to change. Listen. You start changing under the leadership of God's Spirit and start preaching the truth of God's Word, you don't get as many invitations as you used to go off and preach. They don't call you as regular as they used to. I never forget my wife and I were traveling. And it wasn't long after the word began to change and began to come real to us. And about the end of the service, it was time to do an altar call. And I stood behind that pulpit and I made this statement. I said, I'm not going to ask nobody to close their eyes. I'm not going to ask nobody to quit looking around. Because when they crucified my Savior, they didn't do it secretly. They didn't sneak him to that whipping post. They didn't sneak him to the cross. They took him right down through the city. And everybody was looking. You know, for years, we wanted to sneak people to Jesus. And then we wondered why they don't stay. Just as much as we snuck them in, they snuck right back out. There ain't a person around. There ain't a sinner that has ever been born that snuck around a sin, but they sinned. And they didn't care who was looking. So if we're going to serve God, it shouldn't matter who's looking. If we're going to get saved, it shouldn't matter who's looking at us. Because they beat Jesus publicly. They crucified him publicly. So we shouldn't be ashamed of coming to him. But I'm telling you, we have to grab a hold of the word that's been being preached. And we have to be willing to get on the potter's wheel and let him mold us and make us into what we have to be. Let him mold us and make us. See, we all think we could just do what we want, when we want, how we want, and where we want. That's not following God. That's not following God. You know, I ain't never talked to nobody that had a heart attack. And they came from the hospital and said, you know, 3 days before I had that heart attack, I got a letter in the mail saying on the third day you'd have a heart attack. That don't happen. See, that's why it pays to be ready. I was sitting home just yesterday. And I just got that feeling. And I walked out to my truck. I just got out the shower. Sitting there just relaxing. And I said, let me go get my pager. And I no sooner set it on the counter and it went off. And the call was a guy not breathing. That's how fast it happens. That quick. Wasn't no warning. But thank God, by the time we got there, he was breathing. See, we have to be in a place to accept change. So we have to be in a place to accept change. And not everybody in America is ready to do that. You know, I'll never forget when that young man walked into my shop and he sat down. He said, "What caused the change to take place in y'all church like it changed?" I said, "Because we grabbed the Bible as a book. We quit trying to divide it up. And you got to go to it with an open mind. Under the leadership of God's Spirit. And let Him teach you." In other words, we quit repeating what was said by other men. And God began to change things. And we begin to see the truth of what God's word really said. I'm talking for this church, it was drastic. I still got Christmas lights still in the pack. You know, we waited till after Christmas and go shop, but you get a good deal. Thank God we got them cheap. So when we get rid of them, we ain't losing much. I'm telling you, it was drastic. You know, I heard comments like this down in Bootville. "We ain't going back to my grandma's house. They don't even do Christmas no more." Listen, we need to celebrate our Savior every day. So we need to celebrate our Savior every day. You know, now, and just this past year, I got on a subject about Easter with a guy. Thank the Lord we was on the phone. I just told him, I said, "Look," I said, "we done it because everybody else done it." I said, "But when I was at the age of 14, when I got saved, I always questioned how you mix Jesus with a bunny rabbit and chicken eggs. Because I ain't never seen nothing in the Bible about die, you know, and just celebrating Easter. Other than what was said recently. Because we went to it and only read what we pick and chose to read. But I always question, where do you mix the two? What does salvation have to do with hunting Easter eggs?" You know, of course, at the end of the conversation, "Well, there ain't nothing wrong with the kids hunting for some eggs. So, well, we don't do it." And go back to Genesis, read the Bible as a book with an open mind, and just let the Lord teach you. And see, when we understand who God is, so we have to understand who God is. And then allow Him to become real in our life. And allow His Spirit to begin to lead us, direct us, and teach us. Then we start seeing things that we hadn't seen before. But I can't open up the Word of God and find me a scripture and say, "Well, this is what I need, so I'm going to go find me a scripture to fit what I need." And that's where it started. Because one person decided, "I'm going to go find me a scripture to fit my need." And because his need was met, but what they don't tell you is, they got up for an hour and 45 minutes and begged the people to give him enough money to get his need met. They got tired of hearing him begging and got hungry, so they just gave it to him so they could go home. So then it just took off. You know, the last TV preach I watched, he talked for 30 minutes about everything that's going to happen to you, about everything you're going to lose. Then he picked up an offering. But right before he picked up the offering, he said, the way not to do all those things, you got to give. Listen, the way not to do all those things is you got to be underneath the leadership of God's Spirit and follow the Word of God to what it says and start treating God like He's our Father and He'll supply our need. And you don't have to go to nobody and tell them to get your need supplied. All you got to do is go to your Father. So all you have to do is go to your Father. A few months ago, we were in trouble. And we had a need. And a guy walked up to me. And he said, here, the Lord said, give you this. Yeah, I didn't go to nobody in the church. My kids didn't even know. I just went to my Father. God, you know the need, and I'm trusting that you're going to supply it. And He did. You know, a lot of times people talk about giving. And it's not always given because you're picking up an offering. Sometimes it's given of ourselves. Sometimes when God calls you to do things and it seems like financially there's just no possible way, sometimes you got to just be willing to use what you got and start the journey. My wife can tell you, I'm sitting in church. And the Lord spoke to me. It was the last time we were at Brother Nathaniel's church. He said, I want you to go to Valley and Thomaston. So I went to my corner. And I got a jug. And I dumped it on the table. And my wife said, what are you doing? So we wrapping these quarters. I said, because I know it's enough to get us there. And either God's going to supply the need because of obedience, or they're going to get tired of us being there and send us back home. But we wrapped quarters and had enough money to put gas in a truck and eat one time on the way. And when we got there, there ain't nobody knew. Brother Nathaniel didn't even notice. When we got there, God paid for the whole trip. But sometimes we've got to be willing to take the little bit we have and put it to good use in order for God. See, God was already knew He could take care of my need. He wanted to know if I would trust Him enough to take care of it. You know where faith started? When I grabbed that jug and I emptied it out on the table. Because every quarter I counted, there's a little spirit saying, what are you doing? Beside the other spirit, my wife saying, what are we doing? Do you understand we only have $100 and it's quarters? Yeah, we're going to go to the bank and cash it in. So I don't think the gas station would appreciate me paying for $75 worth of gas with quarters. I'm sure they'd have took it, though, after I pumped it. So that's what we've done. See, sometimes God's checking us out, wanting to know, are we going to trust him? Look, I didn't have to count those quarters. I could have called anybody in this church and said, hey, I need $300 because God spoke to me to go and preach and I don't have the money and they'd have gave it to me. But that's not what God said to do. God said, take what you got, put it to use, and trust me, and I'm going to supply your need. Because that's the kind of father he is. He takes care of his children. Jack, stand up. Where's your wife? Somebody get her. Hallelujah. Brother Nathaniel, get your wife. Hallelujah. I want you to join hands. Thank you, Lord. There's a lot of people that God has put you in contact with. For several months, it's like there was a brightness. There was a more of an enthusiasm about who God is. But then the enemy came and he tried to shield, cover you with a shield. You could still see through it. The light was still there, but it wasn't as bright as it was. But God said he's going to refresh you. And that shield that the enemy tried to place between you and God, God's fixing to tear it down. But you got to be willing to get on the potter's wheel. It's like you were running, and you were going, and you were going, and you ran aground, and the prop was bent. See, God never threw you away. He said, I'm just going to fix it. He said, I'm going to take care of it. See, God don't take, if we get messed up in our walk with him, he don't take us and just get rid of us. He fixes us. He repairs us. And if something's knocked off, then he replaces that. And that's what he's about to do. Lift up your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. God, that you are so awesome, Father, that you are going to repair us, you're going to fix us, and you're going to put us back in a place that we need to be in you, God. God, those people that you put watching him, that they'll look at him. He won't have to open his mouth. He won't have to say nothing. But they'll look at him and see Jesus in him. By the leadership of your spirit, I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So join your wife's hand. That, come on up here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You're about to enter a time of refreshing. God's about to give you an anointing like you have never had. You just think what you've seen thus far is awesome. Just get ready for what God's about to do. Because he's about to open up the mind of your understanding like never before. He's about to place something in you. You're not going to have to go and find them. But they're going to come looking for you. They're going to come asking questions. They're going to come wanting to know, where does all the wisdom come from? But it's going to start with the refreshing. Not only spiritually, but physically. See, this was an appointed time. This is ordained by God. Because you needed the freshness that God's going to give you. What you heard in the word this morning, it already started this morning. Just the freshness of God's spirit, of his presence, his anointing, his wisdom, and his understanding. But it's also going to be naturally. Just, you're going to find yourself having the best sleep, finding the best rest you've ever had. Because you've been through a lot of things. There's a lot of things that's been said about you. A lot of untrue things. And God knows that. But God's about to take the lie. The lie that people have seen. Because something, a lie was said and people heard it and they seen it. And they looking at you thinking all you are is a liar. But the truth's about to be made known. The truth in your community. See, God never called you to go nowhere else. He called you for your community. He called you to do a work right where you live. And that's where he wants you. And there's about to be breakthrough like never before. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your freshness. I thank you for your anointing. And God, I just claim it in the name of Jesus. Begin to pour it upon them right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. My. Brother Preston and Sister Lois, come here. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. As the truth of God's word has been opened up to you. As you've looked and you begin to seek God and you begin to understand more truth of God's word than you've ever understood. The Lord would have me tell you tonight, stand your ground. Don't sway to the right. Don't sway to the left. Don't go back and don't give in. Stand your ground upon the word of God. And it's going to seem like it's getting worse. It's going to seem like there's no hope. But if you'll stand your ground on the truth of God's word and share it, tell the reason you can't do what they want you to do, because God's word speaks against it, you'll see the hand of God move. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak deliverance. I speak salvation. True commitment. God, a complete understanding of who you are in the lives of their children like never before. In their grandchildren. The truth of your word is going to go forth. And God, give us strength that we could stand firm and not sway to the right, not sway to the left, not move back, but stand firm on what your word says. God, we receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
I just want to remind everyone, if you didn't get a chance, some called and told me they almost finished listening to the entire tape or whatever it is. I'm not sure it's online. Some's called and said they only went through part of it. Soon as you get through all of it, you heard the entirety of what took place that Sunday. And you hear for several hours. There's a lot to it, so it takes some time. So we're giving everybody time. When you're done, you need to let me know. So I had a couple phone calls today. Some's almost done. Some already done. They told me, Pastor, I'm done. So I'm ready. Whenever you're done, let me know so I can then tell you what the Lord's saying. And so the whole thing of that Sunday, from the start to the finish, you need to listen to that tape. So I think it's online. I don't know if, did we put it on the CD, the rest of it? But it's all digital, so everybody can listen to it. Go take some time. Okay. All right. Well, listen to whatever you can, whatever's available. The rest of it, how much? All right. Well, just, and then the rest of it, I'm not. Because that's why we was wondering. We knew we were here longer than 3 hours and 20 minutes. Okay, so after that, then you were here. The ones that were here, you heard what was said. But the ones who haven't heard it all the way, you need to let me know. As soon as you heard it to that part, then I'll go from there, okay? So whether that be this week, during the week, leading up to Thursday night, or on Sunday, that way I can then come and tell you. But you have to listen to. So there's critical parts in that part that isn't needs to be listened to. And if you have a question on some of the stuff, you can come and ask me. I'll be able to relay some of it back to you on what was talked about and said. If you in question about anything, okay? Although I don't have it written down, but I can let you know. All right. So don't forget, this is important. I was praying about it again this morning because I want to. There are several things. Several things. Matter of fact, I'm going to do Lynn and Kelsey right now. Y'all come here. And this is so important because I was praying this morning. And I have different ones. The Lord told me about it. And this is the anointing. How many know the anointing requires appointments? And it's about us making sure we're doing what we need to do. And so I was making sure of that. And I was just going over with the Lord. I said, Lord, I just want to make sure we listen to you. We're doing what's right. This is important. So I didn't know it cut off with Brother Troy. So who was after Brother Troy? And then different. Okay. Did I talk to you, Alex, before? Okay. All right. Well, listen to whatever y'all can, whatever's there. And how many remember what I told you if it wasn't on the tape? Is it hard to remember? If it wasn't on the tape, the reason why I was hoping it was all taped, that way you could go back and listen to it, is very helpful to do that. It wasn't recorded, Charlotte. So, all right. So disregard all of our chit-chat, because this is, but here's the thing. This is what we've always thought, that there's got to be like a song playing, the lights dim, and somehow God starts talking. That's not the case. He's our Father, and He cares if there's no music, the lights are all burning, and you got a lot going on. If you listen, He's letting you know, don't do or do, and that's important. But let me just tell you, both of you, God anointed you to do ministry, and you're going to have to start doing it. There is no more, nobody can stand in your way for the anointing. It's not strange that you have deep down inside a passion to listen and to hear those who have been called into that arena. And you have a deep passion for it, and you're able to satisfy your own passion for it, but you can't let it out. And that's just been the enemy. It's been the enemy's start, and he's still the enemy. It'll always be the enemy. It's up to you to say, you know what? I'm going to do. You got. This is what the Lord said. If they're not singing when I come, they may miss me. You got to be in that arena. You got to be doing what God said. And so all the stuff, he said, lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. You get beset easy, but not no more. You're going to step in it, and it's going to be glorious. And you're going to do it for Him and nobody else. That's what you're going to just do it for Him. And it's night after night, day after day, you've wrestled and fought. Don't do it no more. You team up, and and you do what God's called you to do. I was praying this morning, and the Lord showed me both of you, and He said, I want you to call them together, and I'm going to do a mighty thing. It's going to be incredible. Your breakthrough starts right now. At the other side of yes, all you got to do is say yes. You can tell Him no. But that's your choice. But if you say yes on the other side of that, you have not seen God do anything yet. Or what he's waiting, and He wants to open it up, but He can't, because you got to be obedient. Obedience is far better than sacrifice. You can do all the little things. You can bake all the cakes. You do, none of that matters to God. What He matters is being obedient and then letting out what He's already put in you. You're gifted. It's an anointing. It breaks yokes, removes burdens, it restores people's life, and you got to step into that. And don't be afraid to do it. When you do that, everything's going to start coming off. All of the weight is all going to fall off. It's just going to be, and it's going to be incredible. It's going to be glorious, but it's up to your times now. You're going to listen to me carefully. You got to be singing when He comes. Not back there. And so I would get my stuff together. I would get whatever it is, my tapes, whatever it is, and I would be active and participating and flowing in the joy and the peace of God, and get a joy like you never had before. Watch God. Watch Him. The past is over. It's a brand new day. You're going to step into a brand new arena, and you've never experienced the glory of God like you're going to experience it on the other side of yes, I'm going to do it, and nothing else is going to hold me back. The joyful days, and let me tell you, your healing is going to come in every single area of your body. There'll be no more shots, no more surgeries, none of that stuff. It's going to come because you're going to step, and the more you do it, the more healing is going to come. The more you do it, it's just going to go away. No more pain, all the suffering, all the aches, it's all going to go away. I was going to do both you and Lee together, but y'all was on y'all's trip. And God knows about trips. He loves when people get to go on their trips and do what they... He loves it. But Lee can tell you, when I called him up, I spoke to him by the anointing of God, everything that had happened just hours before. But am I telling the truth, brother? Hours before. So there was an anointing and a release. And so the only reason I'm telling you now, because the Lord told me this morning, I thought I was going to do it this morning. But again, the Lord, I'm only going to do what you want. And so when Brother Troy said, you have something? I said, no. And the Lord, that quick. He said, okay, here it is. And so I just want you to know that. It starts now. Not next week. Don't wait for next Sunday. Right now, immediately, what I would do is I would start collecting the information I need to step into what God wants you to do. And the healing, immediate. Immediate. Because all that has been weights and just burdens to pull you back, hold you back. And God don't want you to be held back. Not at all. And let me tell you, the somebody for Kelsey has been by God's design. And don't matter what other people say. You need to do this and you need to do that. You just be soft before God and you let him do it. And watch him. Watch what he does. And that's you go for him. So your biggest date is going to be with God. And the rest is going to fall in place. Because God don't want you to get a knucklehead. You got a bunch of those. Anybody can pick a knucklehead. But God's got somebody for you. Amen. How many thank God for his goodness? He's good to us. What a wonderful God. Well, I'm going to get this mic up. Afraid we'd be here too late. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I thank God for you. I love you. There he's gone. He said, let's go before he change his mind. He grabbed a purse. He's so in a hurry. Praise the Lord. Well, thank God for you. I love you. Don't forget, mini camp. What's the time? 8:30, mini camp. If you don't have your kids signed up, make sure they get signed up. Spread the word around for the kids to come out. They're going to have a great time in the Lord. And we do appreciate God. What a great day. Amen. He's been so good to us. I appreciate God for all that he does. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for our opportunity to come and just be in your presence and enjoy everything you do for us. You're so good to us. I pray, Lord, as we go home and we go and we rest, that you would just be with each person that's here. God, give them strength, and we thank you for healing in our bodies. We thank you for wisdom and insight, God, and direction that you're going to give us. We want to be led by your Spirit, and Lord, whatever comes our way tomorrow, we yield to you, and we know, God, you're going to be there with us. We give you the glory, all the praise and honor to you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you.